Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning, this Jummah morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the benefits and let us experience the beauties and the joys of this auspicious day, the day of Jummah, the best day upon which the sun rises. It is a day in which we ought to increase in our ibadat, our dhikr, our dua, our extra salat, our recital of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. This is the program where we take a look at the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Our guest on this program is Malana Muhammad Aku from the Darul Uloom in Newcastle. This week Malana speaks on a very great Sahabi, a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, a young Sahabi that let us listen to his zeal for Islam and for the spreading of Islam and how much of love he had for the Quran. Coming to the month of Ramadan, it is Shahrul Quran, it is the month of Quran. We should endeavor to recite as much of the Quran as possible. Let us listen to the inspiring life of this great Sahabi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for His deen, enable us to prepare for this Mubarak month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to spend Ramadan in a way that we can change our life completely and bring the anwarat of Ramadan and make it a means of a total change in our life. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are the greatest example. Every Sahabi that we look at, that we study, the way he shines, there's so much of guidance, there's so much of light in every Sahabi's life. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he prepared his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, these are the people that we need to emulate, follow, love, and propagate the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It was the time after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was this youngster. His name was Zaid bin Thabit. He comes from the Banu Najjar tribe, and as we all know, Banu Najjar is the family from which Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed mother comes from. And then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's great-grandmother, meaning Hashim's wife Salma, also comes from Banu Najjar. So it's really a noble family. This was a little boy. He was an orphan. His father had passed away in Bu'ath. Bu'ath was a battle before the hijrah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about 5 or 6 years. It was a continuation of a lengthy battle between Aus and Khazraj. These were two tribes living in Medina. And this battle was gruesome between them, and it lasted so long. The last leg of the battle was Bu'ath. It was one of the two armies fought Bu'ath. And this is how the leaders of Medina then passed away. But one of the people that passed away, Medina was at that time known as Yathrib. One of the leaders who passed away was Zaid's father, Thabit. Zaid and his mother both accepted Islam. His mother was a blessed woman, a Sahabiya, radiallahu anha, named An-Nawwar bintu Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anha. What a beautiful name, An-Nawwar. We look for names. Sahaba's names are the best names to give our children, my respected listeners. An-Nawwar. One who effulges with light, one who gives nur and becomes a means of light, enlightening the lives of others. An-Nawwar, meaning abundance of light. This was the name of the mother of Zaid. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Medina, Munawwara. This child, a little boy, he had a lot of zest for deen. He had talab for deen. He would come to the masjid. He would participate in the programs. And then it was the time of Badr. Now, Sahaba are getting ready for Badr. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees the army prepared for Badr, that I'm ready to strive in Allah's path. This was the caravan of Abu Sufyan, who was later became radiallahu anhu. So Abu Sufyan was coming with that caravan, and a lot of the goods had belonged to the Muslims. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to take back what the Muslims had and what was usurped from them. And then in that, Abu Jahl came with the army from Makkah with 1,000 men strong to attack the Muslims, and this battle finally took place at Badr. But as they were leaving, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes a look at his Sahaba. Who is there with him? Who is ready? And he sees there's this little child there who's too young. very, very intelligent. But he was so young, he couldn't even carry the sword properly. So obviously he was not accepted. That was in the time of Badr. And then what happened later, not long after Badr, was the time of Uhud. Now Uhud also, Zayd came with some other youngsters. He was a little bigger now. He's carrying his sword. The sword is as high as he is. And probably the sword is even a little higher. And he comes there. He says, O Nabi of Allah, may I be sacrificed. Allow me to be with you. I want to strive in Allah's path. This child was very, very young at that time. He was 13. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at him with the eye of joy and astonishment. He pats him on the shoulder with love. And he reassures him, you know, of other occasions and other opportunities. And he was not given the opportunity. The child walks back, dragging his sword in grief. Imagine, my respected listeners, Allah's Nabi says, go back. My little boy, you're too young. And the child is crying. He's crying because he's not afforded the opportunity to be with Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this blessed journey. He felt he's deprived of being with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey. He comes back. He holds the hand of his mother. His mother was also out there to bid him farewell, to see him strive in Allah's path. She was also waiting for the opportunity to see her son go for Allah's deen and strive for Allah's sake, for the upliftment of Allah's kalima, for the upliftment of Allah's name, for the upliftment of Allah's deen. As he's walking back, he was down. But then he says something to his mother. He says, oh my mother, I'm very young. That's why Allah's Nabi didn't allow me to go. I'll get other opportunities, but I still want to be very close to the Nabi of Allah. Let me get close to Allah's Nabi through ilm, through the knowledge of deen, through Quran. This is what came to the child's mind. He says, let me look for this opportunity, an avenue, where I'll be very close to my Nabi. This was what he wanted, the field of ilm and Quran. He mentioned this to his mother. She was elated. She told some other people from the community, that this is, especially her family, that this is what my child is saying. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from the journey, one of the uncles took him to the Nabi of Allah. Oh Allah's Nabi, this is our child, Zayd bin Thabit. He knows so many such and such surahs of the Quran Kareem. And he is reading it correctly, and he tried hard to read it properly as it was revealed to you, O Nabi of Allah. And also, this little child, he masters the skills of writing and reading. Mind you, my respected listeners, this was a rare skill at that time. Not everybody had the skill of writing and reading. And O Allah's Nabi, this child reads and writes perfectly. And he wants to be very close to you, and he wants to be by your side. If possible, if you like, you can hear him out. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the little boy, said to him, my child, read to me some Quran. He read the Quran Kareem. His recital was so beautiful, so articulate, so clear. The verses of the Quran would emanate from his lips like pearls and jewels and gems. And it would shine like the shining stars. And he would read perfectly with tajweed, correctly, with understanding, with proper understanding. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the recital of the little boy. He found him better than their description. And it increased his joy when the child was literate. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O youngster, O Zayd, learn for me the language of the Jews. Kitabat al-Yahud, learn their language for me. Because when their letters come, we have to get them to translate and explain. I feel they are untrustable. فَإِنِّي لَا آمَنُهُمْ عَلَى مَا أَقُولُ. So the child says, لَبَّيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I am at your beck and call. I obey you and listen to you, O my Nabi. And he immediately devoted himself to studying this language of Hebrew, the Hebrew language. And he mastered it in a short span of time, approximately 14 days. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and told him to learn the Syriac language, Suryaniya. And he spent some time, the same amount of time, to learn this language as well. And then he became ترجمان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the translator, the personal translator of Janabi Rasulullah. Whenever a letter came from the Jews in Medina, because Medina had a lot of Jews, they had come in the past times. There's different reasons that prompted their journeying to Medina, but one of the main reasons for which they came to Medina Munawwara was they were awaiting the final messenger of Allah. They were awaiting the final messenger of Allah that is mentioned clearly in their books. A famous scholar, Zayd bin Sa'na, read his life in the Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1 of Qulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. Zayd bin Sa'na, who heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from another Jewish rabbi, Ibn al-Hayyab. Ibn al-Hayyab would describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Jews, saying that he's finally about to come. He's going to be coming soon. And he would describe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with detail from the previous scripture. Zayd bin Sa'na was impressed about this description from Ibn al-Hayyab. And he was also a scholar. And then he says, then we heard about the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah. And we were awaiting him. And when he came, when I looked at him, I saw that this man has all the qualities. This man is the Nabi of Allah. He is the messenger of Allah. But there were two qualities that had to be experienced, that in our scripture, يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلًا, his forbearance supersedes anyone's ignorance. And when one treats him with ignorance and disrespect, لَا يَزِيدُهُ شِدَّةُ الْجَهْلِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا, he pours and flows and waves in forbearance. He said, I had to experience this. One day I came to the gathering. Allah's Nabi was trying to solve one issue. There was a man who had come there complaining, O Nabi of Allah, there's a people of a certain town. I made tabligh amongst them. I told them about deen. And then I told them that when they accept deen, prosperity will come. And now they're suffering. O Nabi of Allah, I worry that they lose their iman. Allah's Nabi asked Hilal radiallahu anhu if there was anything to give them. There wasn't anything available at that time. This was the early Medinan stage, Medina period. Zayd was just there. And he said, you know what? I can loan you a certain amount, and you pay me after 1 month from this garden dates. Allah's Nabi said, don't specify which garden, but I will pay you at that time. You know, in this period of time that you give me, on that date I will pay you. He gave the amount to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi said to this man, take this amount, give it to this tribe, give it to this area, distribute it amongst them, and encourage them in regards to their iman. Before the time had passed, Zayd says, few days before the appointed time, I came there. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was by the masjid with his sahaba, and I insulted him in public. To see his response, that you, Banu Abdul Muttalib's children, are oppressors. You treat people unjustly, and you don't pay people on time. And I used very, very harsh words in a very, very disrespectful, vulgar tone. Umar radiallahu anhu and the others were so upset. Umar was about to pounce on me. But the messenger of Allah stopped him. That, hold on, Umar, you shouldn't be treating him like that. You should request him. You should request me, Umar, you should advise me to be more prompt in payment, and you should encourage him, advise him to be more kind in his demand. Oh, Umar, take him. I have his dates ready. Give him his amount, and give him 20 miskals more for the way you spoke to him. Umar takes Zayd. He's paying him, and he's giving him the extra. This Allah is a gesture from the messenger of Allah because of the way I spoke to you. Zayd says, oh, Umar, you don't know me? He says, no, I don't know you. He says, I'm Zayd bin Sa'na. Umar says, I heard of you. He says, that, oh, Umar, I have studied your Nabi clear in my books, but there was this quality that I had to experience. Oh, Umar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all my wealth I give it in Allah's path for the whole Ummah, half my wealth in Allah's path for the whole Ummah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he returns to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he accepts Islam. So there were certain Jews who accepted Islam like this, who were sincere inward. But there were others who were stubborn, and who were jealous of the fact that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam. And they were treacherous. And they didn't want to see Islam prosper because of their jealousy. And why the jealousy? Because of the fact that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from Banu Ismail, Ismail alayhi salam's offspring, and not Ishaq alayhi salam's offspring. They weren't happy with Allah's decision. So they used to be very treacherous towards the Muslims, towards Islam, towards Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were very, very hostile and disrespectful. Zayd radiallahu anhu was now the translator of the Messenger of Allah. All letters coming in, going out, he was the translator, he was the scribe in this regard. Zayd was so trustworthy, and he was so wise and intelligent, after that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him, that now you will be my scribe for the wahi of Qur'an. Whenever Qur'an would descend, Allah's Nabi would send sahaba, call Zayd, uktub ya Zayd, uktub ya Zayd, write Zayd, write. And Zayd radiallahu anhu would write. And he would receive the Qur'an from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very often, very, very often. And he would record it and document it as it would be revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would write it down from the blessed mouth of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sees the incident that prompted his revelation in front of him, and the verse is revealed to the Messenger of Allah, and they document the ayat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. This is how he was so enlightened and radiated by the Qur'an al-Kareem. Zayd radiallahu anhu, Allah Ta'ala chose him. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this opportunity of, and this great khidmah of the Qur'an al-Kareem. He became the first source of the Qur'an al-Kareem for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why throughout history after that also, when it was the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, when there was a taqaza, a task for accumulating the Qur'an al-Kareem in one copy, Zayd radiallahu anhu was entrusted with that task to put it into one copy. The Qur'an was there, but it was kept in different copies, and it was to be accumulated in one copy. Zayd radiallahu anhu was entrusted with that responsibility, with that great task. In the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when many of the Huffaz were made shaheed in Allah Ta'ala's path, they were striving in Allah Ta'ala's path, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appointed Zayd radiallahu anhu for this great task. So Zayd was the man of the Qur'an. It was on the occasion of Tabuk, when Umara bin Hazm radiallahu anhu was carrying the banner. Umara bin Hazm, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the banner from Umara bin Hazm and gave it to Zayd radiallahu anhu. So Umara came to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, I don't mind you took the banner away from me, but did I do something wrong? That's all I'm worried about. I don't want to have sinned or committed some crime. بَلَغَكَ عَنِّي شَيْءٍ Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا وَلَكِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ مُقَدَّمٌ وَزَيْدٌ أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ مِنْكَ O Umara, it's Qur'an that is given precedence, and Zayd is the man of the Qur'an. Zayd is the man of the Qur'an. My respected listeners, this is Qur'an. This is the barakat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. This is the nur a person gets through the Qur'an al-Kareem. Let's draw this lesson. Ramadan is coming. Let us connect to Qur'an al-Kareem. That Qur'an must be part and parcel of our life. Qur'an must be our day. Qur'an must be our night. Qur'an is what we must try and understand. We must go to our ulama, go to our imams of the masjid, and sit in their company and understand the Qur'an al-Kareem. Take the opportunity in Ramadan and out of Ramadan, sit and understand the Qur'an al-Kareem, the basic surahs that we're reading in our salah. Try and understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under the guidance of the ulama. And like this, our life will be enlightened through the barakat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. There's barakat in Qur'an, my respected listeners. The greatest means of getting close to Allah Ta'ala is through the Qur'an al-Kareem. Through Allah's kalam, that's the best way of getting closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Uthman radiallahu anhu would read so much Qur'an every day. He would say, I can't let the day go by without looking into the Qur'an al-Kareem. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. He would start his salah, tahajjud. He would say Allahu Akbar and start from the beginning of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And he would finish off at Surah An-Nas. Our life must be Qur'an. Uthman radiallahu anhu would say, لو أن قلوبنا طهرت ما شبعنا من كلام ربنا. If our hearts were cleansed, if our hearts were clean, we would not get tired of reading the Qur'an al-Kareem, studying the Qur'an al-Kareem, learning the Qur'an al-Kareem. The fact that we read a little and we get tired, that means we are sick. That means we are diseased. We're not taking that effect. We're not enjoying that sweetness of the Quran Kareem. If someone comes to you, my respected listeners, and he says, smell this itar. It's so beautiful. It's pure oud. It's pure musk, white oud, whatever oud, you know. Smell it. It's so beautiful. I paid 1,000 riyals for it. And now let's say you have, for example, a fever, a severe fever or flu. And now with this flu, now you're trying to inhale the scent of that perfume, which smells so nice, and you can't find anything. So I don't get the smell. He says, but I paid 1,000 riyals for it. Can't you smell it? He says, no, I can't. There's no smell to this perfume. The problem is not the perfume, my respected listener. The perfume has its effect, has its beautiful scent. It's me who's sick. That's why I can't get that scent. Because we are sick. Because our hearts have been contaminated. We're not taking effect from the Quran Kareem. We need to cleanse the heart. The hadith of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states so beautifully, إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ لَتَسْطَعْ كَمَا يَسْطَعُ الْحَدِيدِ إِذَا أَصَابَهُ الْمَاءِ. The hearts become rusty. The hearts become rusty. Like how steel, when in constant contact with water, it becomes rusty. لَتَسْطَعْ. In the same way, the hearts become rusty. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, oh Nabi of Allah, what will cleanse the hearts again? وَمَا جِلَاؤُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remembrance of death and recital of the Quran Kareem. When we recite the Quran Kareem, that will cleanse our heart. When we recite the Quran Kareem, Sahaba radiallahu anhum always read the Quran Kareem. We should be taking our time every day throughout our life to read the Quran Kareem. We discussed in the previous few weeks about Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi radiallahu anhu, how he accepted Islam, and then how his tribe came to Medina Munawwara after so many years of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts and du'as and fikr. And then finally when they came towards the end of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's worldly life, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pitched up for them a tent just outside Masjid Nabawi in the center of the masjid, and every day Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make ta'aleem for them. So one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came after a certain time. So they said, O Nabi of Allah, you were busy with something. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every day I must read the Qur'an Kareem. Every day I must read the Qur'an Kareem, and I don't leave it. That's why I was completing my recital of the Qur'an Kareem, and then I was coming to you. This is something that meaning we take a certain amount of the Quran Kareem under the guidance of the ulama, and every day we try and reach that amount. Every day we should take our time to read the Quran Kareem. Not only in Ramadan, my respected listeners, Quran should be part and parcel of our life. And also very importantly, we should endeavor and strive and have the thirst to read the Quran Kareem correctly. We shouldn't sit down with this excuse that, okay, no, I learned like that in the past when I was little. That's how I learned. I'll carry on reading like that. But we carry on reading, but we have to try and improve. We have ulama who we can request some time from, and they will give us time. They would love to teach us. Take out some time after a certain salah, sit by the ulama, learn the Quran Kareem. We shouldn't say, no, I learned it like that, and I will continue reading as I learned. Just like in the past, you know, we used to use those phone cards to put it in the machine, the phone booth, and speak like that. And before that, it was just coins. You put coins, and you speak, even though you can phone. And then after that, the other small phone came. And then after that, a new smartphone came. Even sometimes we elderly of advanced age, sometimes we're still using the latest technology and the latest of phones, using all this technology and so forth on the phones, doing all our business transactions via the phone, our banking and so forth. We're not saying that, no, when I was young, we used to use that phone there, so I'll stick with that. So as far as technology is concerned, dunya is concerned, we want to advance. Why don't we want to advance in regards to the deen of Allah Ta'ala? How are we going to stand before Allah Ta'ala? That our Fatiha, our Surah Al-Fatiha is incorrect. Our Surah Yasin is incorrect. Our reciting is incorrect. We're not saying Allah will accept, Allah is merciful. But we have to try and improve. Like we try and advance in every other aspect of life. In our deen, in regards to our Quran, we should endeavor to advance, improve, and get better. my respected listeners. So let's be inspired by Zayd radiallahu anhu. His life was Quran. His day was Quran. His night was Quran. So Zayd radiallahu anhu was appointed to read the Quran al-Kareem and to make this khidmah of the Quran al-Kareem. There was a great scholar with the name of Urwa bin Zubair bin Awam. This scholar used to read Quran al-Kareem not half a juz every day. He would read half Quran every day. Half Quran every single day. Urwa bin Zubair bin Awam used to read every single day. It was only once in his life that he didn't complete this portion of the Quran al-Kareem that he used to normally read. It was once, on one occasion. He went to visit Walid bin Abdul Malik. And in his hospitality, his limb was detected with gangrene. So Walid, Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time, the Muslim ruler, you know, called for all the best doctors and physicians to check the limb of this great scholar, Urwa. And they found that it was gangrene and his limb had to be amputated. So anyway, the surgeons, they came to amputate his limb. And as they were about to remove his limb, they wanted to give him these intoxicants, these tablets that would intoxicate him. He refused to take that. He said, I'll make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala and you can amputate. And he kept on making dhikr. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Making the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, his limb was amputated. And then they had to dip that limb, his foot, whatever was remaining of it, into boiling oil to stop the excessive blood. And when they dipped him into oil, he fell down unconscious. That was the only one occasion in his life that he missed that weird of completing that amount of the Quran al-Kareem. He used to read quarter of the Quran al-Kareem in the day looking in, and that same quarter of the Quran he used to read at night in tahajjud, meaning half the Quran al-Kareem every day. Allah give us tawfiq, my respected listeners. So Zayd radiallahu anhu gave his life for the Quran al-Kareem, and all his life was given for the service of Allah Ta'ala's deen. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, there was a mashura between the Muhajireen and the Ansar in Saqifa Bani Sa'ida, under the discussion of the next Khalif. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the Imam, the Amir, the Khalifa. There was a discussion between the Ansar that who should be the ruler. Should there be an Amir from the Ansar also to support the Muhajireen? And in this, some Ansar gave the right that yes, there should be an Amir from the Ansar, a Khalifa from the Ansar and a Khalifa from the Muhajireen. But the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that the rule, the leader after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be from the Quraysh. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was indicated to. Zayd radiallahu anhu, he got up, he was from the Ansar. He said to the Ansar, Ya ma'ashar al-Ansar, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from the Muhajireen. His Khalifa will be from the Muhajireen. And we were the helpers of the Messenger of Allah. And we will be the helpers of the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Zayd radiallahu anhu made everyone understand, and everyone understood, and the bay'ah was given to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Zayd radiallahu anhu, with such ilm, such wisdom, that any misunderstanding that came, he managed to solve it through his wisdom, through his ilm, through his understanding of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Even the khulafa after Rasulullah, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhu, they would always call Zayd radiallahu anhu when faced with any challenge or any masla or any matter. And Zayd radiallahu anhu was a master in solving it. Even on the occasion of Jabir, a famous khutbah of Umar radiallahu anhu, he would say, O people, if you have any question in regards to the Quran, go to Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. If you have any question in regards to the fiqh of deen, go to Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, and so forth. So Zayd radiallahu anhu was the master of the Quran. And also Zayd radiallahu anhu, his skill was the knowledge of inheritance, miras. All the people at that time would come to Zayd radiallahu anhu to solve this issue. There were two sahabas who were masters in this, Zayd radiallahu anhu and Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Zayd radiallahu anhu had got it documented. And when Uthman radiallahu anhu was threatened by those who caused fitna, the fitna in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, where they tried to assassinate him, and Zayd radiallahu anhu came there, and he was standing next to Uthman radiallahu anhu in the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu to defend him. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, go out and try and convince them to leave. When he comes out, and they were harsh with Zayd radiallahu anhu. Many said, if you're going to harm Zayd, who's going to solve your issues if your father passes away? Who's going to solve these issues? It was Zayd radiallahu anhu who documented the mirah and so forth. Zayd radiallahu anhu was a man of such ilm. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with many, many children, many, you know, sahaba radiallahu anhu. Zayd radiallahu anhu, amongst the children that Allah Ta'ala gave him, and Zayd radiallahu anhu was such that Umar radiallahu anhu would send all the sahaba to the different countries to teach the deen of Allah Ta'ala, to impart Allah Ta'ala's deen in different countries. But you would keep Zayd radiallahu anhu in Medina to give fatwa and teach in Medina Munawwara. He wanted Zayd radiallahu anhu near him. And any masala, Umar radiallahu anhu used to make mashura with Zayd radiallahu anhu. Among the children of Zayd radiallahu anhu, quite a few, Kharija, famous rawi, narrator of hadith, Kharija rahimahullah, Sulaiman, Yahya, Umara, Ismail, As'ad, Ubada, Ishaq, Hasana, Amra, these are some of his daughters, Amra, Ummu Ishaq, Ummu Kulthum, you know, Abdurrahman, Ubaidullah, and a lot of children Allah Ta'ala blessed Zayd radiallahu anhu. He was an ocean of knowledge. It was on one occasion that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu saw Zayd radiallahu anhu embarking onto his conveyance. So he stood in front of him and held on to the stirrup to help Zayd. He held on to the stirrup to help Zayd to get onto the conveyance. So Zayd radiallahu anhu said, "O cousin of the Messenger of Allah, please leave it, leave it." Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, "This is how we are commanded to respect our ulama, our asatid, our teachers, our tutors." Zayd radiallahu anhu said, "Give me your hand, O Abdullah bin Abbas." Abdullah bin Abbas showed him his hand. So Zayd bent towards his hand and kissed it. And he said, "This is how we are commanded to treat the family of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This was the respect of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that they had for each other. When Zayd radiallahu anhu left this world, everyone was crying, everyone was sad that Zayd radiallahu anhu had passed away. That so much of ilm has gone with him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, "Today, one of the most knowledgeable ones of the Ummah has left this world. Al-yawm ma tahabbaru hadhihi al-Ummah." And then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu commented to say that hopefully Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu will be able to fill his shoes. وَعَسَىٰ أَن يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِي ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ خَلَفًا مِنْهُ. Zayd radiallahu anhu passed away in the year 45 Hijri. And when he passed away, Marwan bin Hakam made the janazah salah for him. He passed away in Madinah Munawwara. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to emulate the lives of the blessed Sahaba radiallahu anhu. My respected listeners, Ramadan is a few days away. We have to connect to Allah Ta'ala. We have to repent to Allah Ta'ala. We have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. And we have to take out time for the Quran Kareem. And every day we take out some time to understand the virtues of Ramadan. Read the Fazail-e Amal. There's a beautiful chapter in the Fazail-e Amal in regards to the virtues of Ramadan. Every one of us should read that individually, and we should read it collectively in our homes. And when the ta'aleem is taking place in the masjid, participate in that. In our homes, read the virtues of Ramadan to understand the value of this month. And also read about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and read of the virtues of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Because every opportunity in Ramadan should be used for recital of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And Allah, may Allah give us the understanding, and may Allah enable us to emulate the lives of the glorious Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Let's take a few moments to read quls for Zayd radiallahu anhum and all the great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.